I'm Reuven Levy, speaking to you from the Holy Yeshiva of Chutzshel Chesed in Yerushalayim. Zat Hashem, we're learning Likutei Moran. We are up to Torah Hey, and I'm going to read from, not Likutei Moran itself, but from another sefer called Kitzur Likutei Moran. What's the Kitzur Likutei Moran? The Kitzur is a short form version of Likutei Moran, also written by Rav Natan. Rav Natan wrote the Kitzur when he realized that the Likutei Moran itself was actually a bit too complicated and lengthy for many people to learn from. Likutei Moran has a lot of sources in, it has a lot of explanations. So what Rav Natan saw was that it was a need, an opportunity to create a sefer which would just take out the essence of the teachings without all the sources and just to tell you the main understandings that you made, the main messages, the main teachings that Rav Nachman was putting across in that lesson.
Now, can you get that in English and where can you get that?
Okay, so the Kitzur Likutei Moran is available in English too. They made it in English now. It's in a 2-volume set. And it's a person who wants to study Likutei Moran, it's certainly a good option because it's easier to understand and to follow. Rav Natan simplified it to make the ideas more clear and without having to go through the various pasukim and the explanations that are contained within Likutei Moran itself. So it's in terms of giving over this teaching, it's a good way of sourcing without having to go through all the itty bitty details that may not be so relevant to everybody to understand. So anyway, so we're in Torah Hey. Torah Hey is teaching us basically about prayer and simcha and how those two things are connected. So I'm actually going to skip the beginning bit because the beginning bit is going to take us a bit on a tangent. And I'm going to jump in a little bit after the beginning. Ikar ha-simcha, hu balev. Ve'i'efshar lelev lismoach ad sheyasir akmuviot shebelibo. So, the ikar of simcha is in the lev. With these three words, these four words, Rav Nachman teaches us something that is crucial to all of humanity. And you could write books and books and spend hours and years just on those few words without having to go anywhere. The ikar of simcha is in the lev. What does it mean that ikar of simcha is in the lev? It means that simcha, happiness, comes from the heart. That is a chiddush. Yes.
Pray to Hashem, you build your imunah. When you have imunah, you have simcha.
Yes, it helps. We're going to see in this lesson, Rav Nachman explains what stops a person having simcha. Simcha is in the heart, but it's stuck. We all have simcha in our hearts, right? We have simcha in there, but it doesn't come out. Different reasons why it doesn't come out. In this lesson, Rav Nachman is going to give us one understanding, one piece of the puzzle. There are other pieces too. The whole of Likutei Moran is dotted with information about simcha and how to be happy and what stops you being happy. There's a lot to learn. This is one of the central aspects of what stops us being happy. First of all, we need to know that simcha is in the heart. But our problem is it gets stuck. We don't let it out. What does it mean we don't let it out?
you pray. Because when the Shema, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your power, what means heart is praying.
Okay. Yeah. Where's
so
the Simcha?
You cannot let it out when you're not praying. So you cannot, you give the Emunah.
You're right. There's something in what you're saying. And Rav Nachman is going to bring the connection to prayer in a lot more detail in a minute. But just the understanding of to have simcha, we all have simcha in our hearts, but we don't let it out. What does it mean? An example of this is, if you've ever been in shul on Simchat Torah, or during Hallel, or if you're in the Beit Knesset here in the Chutzal Yeshiva every single day, right? And they people get up to dance. People get up to dance. And they dance around in a circle. And you're sitting there in your chair. And someone comes over and says, no, join. And you're like, no, thank you, that's okay. What is that? That is, there is simcha in your heart, but you can't let it out. I am stopping myself from joining in the fun. I see people having fun. The truth is, I want to join them. My neshama is dying to get up there and to dance around. But I stop myself. No, that's okay. I repress that emotion. In modern day psychobabble termination, repressed emotions. What's an example of repressed emotions? I'm watching a movie, chas v'shalom, that anyone should watch a movie, but let's just say a person watched a kosher movie, and it's very sad. The natural reaction when a person sees something sad, if they're in touch with their emotions, is to cry. That's normal. But we don't let ourselves, potentially some people do, and that's fine, but we don't let ourselves cry. Oh no, swallow that back. Being a man, can't let myself cry. That's called repressing our emotions, right? We don't let our emotions out. And same thing too with simcha. But we have a point with simcha. It's not, in the case that we just gave about not wanting to cry, right? It's slightly different because the tears want to come out and I'm stopping them. Right, here in the case of simcha, I'm a bit stuck. I actually want to dance, but I can't. I can't let the simcha out. Something that even deeper is stopping me. It's not just me stopping me. But it's the same idea that the simcha is there. The simcha's in my heart. It just can't come out. I am happy. Everyone's happy. Had the honor of having some neighbors over for Friday night this week. And at the table, me and the husband and the family we invited, we're singing, whatever song we were singing, Shabbat song, right? And their daughter, who's, I don't know how she was, maybe 3 years old, something like that. She was standing up. She started to dance. She was dancing from our singing the Shabbat song. She was just happy, and it was like, we have that. When we hear a nigger that's like really happy, we just want to dance and sing, but we don't let ourselves. Right? That happiness doesn't come out. We just sit there like, no, everything's good, right? You're free. That's really terrible. Because we want to be happy. The whole world wants to be happy. Right? We know it's the key. Right? Rav Nachman teaches us the importance of being happy. It's a mitzvah to be happy. A person has to be very careful to be happy. Has to try very hard. Rav Nachman says it's one of the most difficult of all Avodat Hashem. Is to try to be happy always. The most difficult thing. But one of the most important things. We learned what happens to Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, then when you're not happy, the opposite of Chas V'Shalom can kill you. Person who's depressed, doesn't want to live. Happiness is what gives you life. Right? It has many wonderful aspects. So how do I become happy? So now we're going to learn one of the ways how to actually become happy. Because it's not standard. Look around you, modern society. Everyone's trying to be happy. Everyone's pretending to be happy. People even think they're happy, and they're really not. Why not? Because the ikar of simcha is in the heart. And the simcha that you see out there in the street is not happiness from the heart. It's happy, if it's happiness at all, it's happiness from the sechel, from the mind, from up here. It's happiness from a funny joke. It's happiness, intellectual happiness. I saw something funny. I understood a funny thing. Intellectually, it made me laugh. But it's not from the heart. I didn't laugh from the heart, I laughed from my sechel, from my mind. Right? And it's a different thing. The ikka is really in my heart. If I'm not laughing from it here, it's not true simple. It's nice, it's good, top, it's whatever I can imagine. You know, a person goes, has a few beers, they make jokes and make fun of people. Top, intellectually they stimulated themselves. They thought they were having a good time, they were happy. They weren't really happy, they didn't come away feeling good about themselves. At the time that they were laughing, for those 5 minutes, everything was good. And then, because it's like any temporary chemical, physical, emotional high, it's temporary, it's not real. Right? And as soon as the high wears off, you're even lower than where you started. But a person who has simcha in their lev, yofi, that's where it's at, that's the main deal. That's, so that's where we want to get to, and that's what Rav Nachman is going to teach us, Bezrat Hashem, something very key to understanding ourselves, understanding how to achieve true happiness. So he continues, E'efshar lelev lismach, it's impossible, E'efshar, it is not possible for the lev to be happy, ad until sheyasir akmumiot shebelibo, until he removes the akmumiot, which are in his heart. What's the akmumiot? The wrinkles. The wrinkles. What's a wrinkle? Wrinkle, when you wrinkle your face? That's it, or you have like lines. Wrinkles. The crookedness. The bent. Akum. My heart is crooked. My heart is bent. Unfortunately, it's true. It's not just my heart, it's everyone's heart. Sorry, guys. Everyone. We have, our heart is crooked. It's as if there's no pathway for it to come out. Teachers, right? Sheyehei lo yeshurut lev, so that he will have yeshurut lev, a straight heart. Va'az yizkeh lesimcha, and then he can merit to have happiness. So, only once we get rid of the crookedness in the heart, then we can have a straight heart, and the straight heart can merit happiness. Just like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Lishrei Lev Simcha. To those who are Yashar Lev, there will be Simcha. So you need to be Yashar Lev in order to have Simcha, to have a straight heart. How do you get a straight heart? Easy, by straightening out the crookedness. The heart is bent, you make it straight, you can have Simcha. Yofi, we're getting closer, but it's still not helping us. Right? Because we need to know what this crookedness is and how to get it out. Our heart is crooked, it's wrinkled. It doesn't let the simcha come out. We need to straighten our heart, and then the simcha can just flow out. Just flow. Without any worries, without any problems, any fears. Right? The guy who's sitting there and doesn't want to get up and dance with the rest of the kahila who's dancing around. Happy. Why doesn't he want to get up and dance? Because he's full of, what's this person going to think? What's that person? What am I going to think about myself? Maybe it's going to embarrass me. But right, all these crookedness in my heart. It's like all these shtuyot, all this nonsense. Relax. Don't worry about it, right? We need our heart to be yashar. Everything's fine. Right? David HaMelech, we learn in the Navi, in the Haftarah, talks about that when he danced, when they were bringing the tablets, the Luchot HaBrit, the Ark, to Jerusalem. And he danced, and Michal, his wife, saw him and said, "What are you doing? It's not fitting for a king to dance that way." And David rebuked her and said, "There's a lot more where that came from. I haven't even started." Right? That's Yashar Lev, right? That you can just dance and let the happiness out. So you all got now excuses to go dancing in the streets, but it has to still be dancing from a true place, not from there's a danger and a klipa in all these things. Can't manufacture, pretend to be happy if it's not true. You can start. Natan explains that a person should try and make themselves happy, should smile, tell jokes, do mila d'shtuta, silly things to bring themselves to happiness. But the true happiness is in the heart. All those things help because they remove the crookedness of the heart. My crookedness of the heart, which is my ga'ava, we're going to learn too, is my ga'ava in my heart. Right? That's the part which says, I can't dance, what will people think of me? I've got a reputation to uphold, I've got kavod. Right? A person with kavod doesn't, right? So what does Rav Natan tell him to do? Milated shtuta, do something stupid. Reduce your kavod for a minute. Right? And then you can actually come to happiness. But if a person is worried about their kavod, can't be happy. So, va'akmumiot shebalev, mafshitin al yidei ra'amim. The crookedness in a person's heart is straightened out through ra'amim. Ra'amim here is thunder. Shechem b'chinat tefila, which is an aspect of tefila b'koach, b'ira v'ahava u'b'kavana gadola. It's an aspect of tefila with strength, with awe of heaven, with love, and with kavanah, intention, gadolah, very much. What's he talking about? So in the full version of Likutei Moran, he explains further. The Chazal say that why did Hashem create thunder? In order to straighten out the wrinkles of the person's heart. It's a well-known Chazal. Hashem created thunder to straighten the wrinkles in a person's heart. What does it mean? Means that when a person hears thunder, they get scared. And that straightens out the wrinkles of your heart. What's a deeper understanding of what it's talking about? Why does it straighten out the wrinkles of your heart? You get scared. What do you get scared of? Where's the thunder from? The thunder is from Hashem. Right? The thunder is not as... Chazal doesn't say, what straightens out your heart when you see a lion charging towards you? You see a lion charging towards you, you're not scared of Hashem, you're scared of the lion. The lion's going to eat me up, right? But when you hear thunder, the world shaking, that's mamash fear of heaven, whether or not you identify it or not. The fear that places with you is Yirat Shamayim. I'm not fear, there's no... I can be afraid of lightning, that maybe lightning's going to strike me, but I'm not worried about that here. I'm worried about the noise. The fear that the loud noise of the thunder engenders within me is an aspect of Yirat Shamayim, because it's just a noise, but it reminds me of Hashem. Hashem is banging on the table. That's what straightens out my heart. When a person is afraid, they turn back to Hashem. Right? The other famous quotation, there are no atheists in a foxhole. A foxhole is in war, when you dig into a trench to fight a war against the enemy. In that trench, there's no one who's an atheist, everyone believes in God. Right? When the bullets are flying past your head, everyone believes in God. Right? There's no atheist in the foxhole. Why? Because you're at Shemayim, right? Suddenly, all that nonsense disappears. All the nonsense, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about my bank account, I'm worried about my job, I'm worried about getting a promotion, it's all irrelevant. person's worried about dying, that's all, right? What matters? Oh, me, Hashem, they're the important things. They're the only things that are important. That's why a person turns to God at such a time. If a person, person's not stupid, person in their most difficult time, if they're in a life-threatening situation, either for them or for one of their loved ones, and they're in a life-threatening situation, person's not dumb. He's not going to turn to something that's a waste of time. When a person's in a life-threatening situation, he doesn't turn to a video game. He doesn't turn to look at a magazine. He turns to Hashem. He doesn't waste his time. Who's got time to waste? If I'm in a case of war, I need to focus on not getting killed. I'm not going to spend my time on something that's irrelevant, that's stupid, that's a waste of time. Right? I've got to take care of my life. It's the most important thing. But no, what do? I actually turn to the most important thing, because at that point I admit the truth. And that's how you know it's true. Because no one in their right mind who's getting shot at would stop to think about little green aliens. I mean, it's just, you know, that's not the time or the place, right? But what do you do? And that's how you, the truth. My life's on the line here. Hashem, help me, right? That's why a person knows that that's the truth. At the moment of truth, he turns to the truth. And that's the essence of thunder. Fear causes me to turn back to Hashem. Fear straightens up my heart and takes away all the nonsense, all the shtuyot. Suddenly Facebook has no relevance or meaning, and I don't care if I never see it again in my life. Right? Because it's shtuyot. And my heart can now be straight, my heart can now straighten up, can flatten out all that nonsense. And now I can actually experience happiness. Fine with me. That's an aspect of thunder. And that aspect, that mashal, he says, is true. It's true for us in a real sense, in a practical sense. How do we use the mashal of thunder? He says that our prayers, our tefillah, are like thunder. Person who davens properly with kavanah, with koach, he is creating thunder in his own heart. The words of his prayer, they hit the heart like thunder. To daven with power and to daven with kar just means to daven with simple truth. If I'm davening my Shemona Esrei and I'm just reading it through, it didn't mean anything to me. I didn't hear the words. I may have heard them, but I never felt them. They didn't do anything for me. But if I say that with Kavanah, Ata Chonen, Ata Hashem, you Hashem, Chonen Ladam Da'at, you give that. You're the one who gives that. I'm saying that with power and with meaning. Now my heart's woken up. Now I know for sure that Hashem is the source of my da'at. Hashem is the source of my parnasah. Hashem is the source of my strength. Hashem is the one who's going to bring me back to teshuvah. When I say that with meaning, that wakens me up. It wakens my heart up to actually to Yirat Shamayim, to realize Hashem exists, to realize that Hashem is in control. To realize that Hashem is in charge of everything. That's like thunder in my heart. And that's what straightens out my heart.
It's like yesterday, the shiur from Rabbi Shalom's, or the Kaddish.
Uh-huh.
He talked.
Hard to say it.
In the beginning, you listen to this. I make, let's you, Kaddish. And I have always, when I was in shul, I take the level from them. Understand? So, they say they are you listen to this, you say, now you make a Kaddish. Today in the shul, we There was your feelings, you were a little dismayed. Something changed, you see? You listened to this, and then, oh, I think like you realized you were not put Kavana in so much. It's why, I see. It's very difficult. Understand? I understand. When you put Kavana in all this shoe, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Sometimes I suffer. Understand? Because we have not the time. Understand? You're a liar. Understand? You go to Daven in the end and you know you lie. Because you not put Kapala in your brains. Understand? It's a lie. You're wrong. You will only finish. This is a lie.
Sure.
So what are we learning here? We're learning that the tefillah, happiness belief. You obviously davened well today, Rabbi Yosef.
You got
a person who davens with meaning, with kavanah, it changes them, changes who we are, changes our heart. Right? We know that. What is avodah? What is tefillah? Tefillah is called avodat halev. Avodat halev, the work of the heart. And that's tefillah. Tefillah is what changes our heart. When a person davens with power to hear the words that he's saying, it changes his own heart. He's not the same person. It changes who I am. And that's the main thing. To change your heart is everything.
I feel it. The Rosh Hashanah told about when you make the Shema, you say every word. So when you're down in the Rosh Hashanah, you like in the prison, understand? You have not the time, so you're limited. So you feel you cannot express your soul, understand? You feel like in a prison. It's very difficult, it's very hard.
It's a person should try and find a minion that they can daven in properly.
Yeah.
Do what they can. We know from Rav Arish and from Steyar, the forest fields. Rav Arish teaches as a person should try and daven a long Shemoneh Esrei. If not every day, once a week, once a month, at some point, an hour Shemoneh Esrei. The same idea. Right? When a person davens a long Shemoneh Esrei, says every word. Says every word with meaning. It affects me. That's avodat halev. It changes who I am. It changes my heart.
You know Hebrew very well.
Well, I have a siddur with the English translation next
week.
An hour is plenty of time to read the English.
Read English anymore.
Nahon, but after, how many times do I need to say Shmoneh Esrei? I'm saying it 3 times a day. If I learn it once, twice, 3 times, 5 times, 20 times. How many times do I need to learn it with the English before it's
got to learn? We don't know.
We don't need to know the real meaning. Rav Arish teaches us that the Kavanah, that Rav Nachman teaches, the Kavanah means simple meaning. The simple meaning of the words. A person shouldn't try and go further. If Hashem wants to give him, Hashem will give him into his brain and teach him what he needs to know.
For a Jew speaking, it's much better in the Asada.
For what?
In the Asada is much better for the Jew speaking. Someone who doesn't have, you know, the Hebrew of the first and second language.
Everyone with a Siddur can understand the simple meaning of the words of Shemoneh Esrei.
Yes,
and that's
so
all we have to
know
do.
The final bracha. If you know the final bracha,
everyone who has a translation. Not even just the whole bracha itself. The whole bracha itself. Shema Koleinu. Hashem Elokeinu. It's all simple words.
I don't know what it means. The whole.
Wait. Alat Sadikim.
Alat Sadikim.
Okay. Alat Sadikim. for the Sadiqim.
For the Sadiqim.
Okay, but Ala Hasidim, for the Hasidim. Ba'azin Ney Sheretan Chabe Yisrael. And only those who remain from the house, the elders of the house of Israel, right? The Gedolim, the elders, the Kenim. Right? They'll play Tat Beis Avraham. Those who are. I'll play Tat Beis Avraham. By those who remain from the scribes, those who wrote down. The Algeret Sedek for the true converts, the Aleinu and us. Yamun Arachamel Hashem Elokeinu, you should have mercy on us.
I don't know. So, if you don't know this, you will make Alel in 5 minutes. Understand? So, you can never reach happiness.
No, you can never reach happiness.
No, you are. You run the thing. So you can.
A person misses out on that part of it. It's not that he can never reach happiness. If Rav Arush happens to be in another country, in a foreign shul, and in that shul, they daven 5 minutes halal, doesn't mean that Rav Arush can never be seen happiness. It means that he missed out on that opportunity in that prayer to be happy with that prayer. In that, I missed out on that. I could have had something really good at that time, and on that, I didn't. But if I've straightened up my heart, I can be happy with anything. Don't tell me I'll be happy with 5 minutes. It's not ideal. It's not great. Everyone should, even a little bit is good. Right, we should know that this world is not perfect, and we can't have whatever we want. Mamash, Hashem doesn't let us have what we want. Hashem gives us whatever Hashem wants to give us. And whatever He gives us, we have to take, we have to grab whatever we can. So if He gives us a minion that davens 5 minutes halal, we have to grab what we can.
You can choose. You can say, no, I go on a mission.
If I can choose. Yeah, fair. If I can choose, I can choose. Nachon, if I can choose. If I can't choose, if I'm in a position I can't choose, then I can't choose. I have to, Hashem gave that to me today. Today I woke up late and I missed my regular minion. I have no choice but to daven with a fast minion because that's the only minion that's left. So what can I do? Right, that's what Hashem gave me today and I have to make the best of it.
That's what I told you.
Oh, whatever He gives me, I have to grab the best I can.
That's what I told you.
If I can grab something better, your fear should go and grab something better.
And you can choose. Let's say today we start with the heart. So they finished with the road 15 past 5. But now they was running the Shaharit. Yeah? And now, tomorrow, I finish 15 minutes earlier with them. Because prepare my mind for Shaharit. Because I don't like to run. Understand? So I'm in the same minion, but I stop to the road 15 minutes before them. Because I don't like to rush to Shaharit.
I got the ticket too, but I have the
So I didn't stop.
Okay.